Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante, along with not the good Dustin Hawkinsmith. I've been promised the great Dustin Hawkinsmith. How you doing, Dusty?
Can we revise that? Because there was an addendum to this conversation that we had offline. I said I wouldn't be good for our recording time. I would be great for it. Then you pretty much locked me in to being at my best. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm going to be the mediocre. I'm going to be the nine overtime Illinois version of me, not the, you know, Ohio State version of me.
I'm sorry. Commitment was already made to be great, or dare I say elite. The elite Dustin Hawkinsmith. Speaking of the Ohio State game, obviously that's what we're going to be talking about, Dusty. My first overall thought to this thing is, wow, in 1 week, the difference between the performance at home against Illinois, the performance against Ohio State, and at least on the surface, the one difference is you apparently have a healthy Sean Clifford versus the not so healthy Sean Clifford. What did you see?
Well, obviously that was a huge key in this game for Penn State to be able to keep it close and keep coming back whenever they got into adverse situations, which I thought was admirable on both sides of the ball, really, but for the Penn State offense to carry their weight again. Sean Clifford looked like himself, you know, and I think that's a good testament to him and whatever he was going through last week leading up to Illinois. I'm sure it was physical. There probably was some mental stuff as well in terms of actual execution and having to play with pain and try to confidently move. And he just wasn't there. Big difference last week to this week and the way that he played and the way the offense was able to move against Ohio State, really, you know, revolving around Sean Clifford and his performance and his leadership and him being out there and kind of leading the charge here. And, you know, I get it that Penn State should have a better situation at backup quarterback. And I know that maybe they could have, you know, done some more things in the transfer market. But I think what they experienced against Iowa and Illinois, you know, there just wasn't a whole lot you could do considering your top backup moved on. I'm not sure they were getting a transfer that was going to be capable of doing more than Taquan Roberson. So I don't think there's any shame in leaning on your starting quarterback the way that they have. And in this situation against Ohio State, you know, he really responded and played well.
And to add to it, though, the performance, it wasn't just about a different Sean Clifford. It was a different team entirely. The defense against the run compared to way it was just beat up by Illinois the week before. But the other thing to all this was the Illinois loss was as bad a loss as there's been in the James Franklin era. The Iowa loss was so disappointing because you were in control of the game, ends up losing. You then have James Franklin in his press conference where I've never seen him make the gaffes that he made in this press conference. He kept meaning to say Ohio State and kept saying Illinois. He called Ohio State Stadium the big house. He made all these blunders, which is not typical of him. He looked like a beaten man. He looked like he hadn't slept for several days. And with that, you thought, you know what? There probably goes the whole team and the rest of the season. As a fan, that was the spiral that I was fearful they were headed towards.
Well, I made some comments about this on another podcast late last week, and I thought 50-50. Number one, I think Franklin usually prepares himself, at least mentally, for his media opportunities and what he's going to say and what he's going to be asked and kind of walks through those things. I suspect that probably last week he didn't get an opportunity to really game plan and prepare himself for what was coming his way. So that was one scenario, the more likely scenario. Another scenario is saying, yes, Franklin's been through some things. Yes, it looks like he hasn't slept because he probably hasn't. Yes, there's probably a lot going on behind the scenes between him and Penn State's administration and all this distraction talk. But also, is this kind of a Jedi mind trick that will allow Penn State to be not treated like they have any shot at this, maybe taking all the criticism and stuff and putting it on his shoulders and deliberately misspeaking? Would you put it past James Franklin to play that game and act like he was completely beleaguered, he was beaten down? I think there's a small chance that that was the scenario, that Franklin was kind of just playing some kind of game. I honestly, like, he's so thoughtful and so deliberate. I know there's a lot going on, but that wouldn't surprise me at all if somebody told me that.
I think you just fell off the elite shelf there, Dustin. I don't think
I'm so elite you don't even understand, Jim. That's where we're at.
You're playing chess and I'm merely at checkers. But I think the reason why not is it's not his style. Here's a guy who always presents himself as very confident, pretty much the smartest guy in the room, always under control. And I don't think he would play dumb in that way, if you will. And because I think that he was mocked on different websites that I saw, different conversations. So I don't think that was the case. I think it was a case that, you know, his 1-0 mantra, all he's thinking about is this week and playing Ohio State and kept dropping Illinois. I think it was a mistake that, because it was just in his head yet, he hadn't gotten rid of the anxiety, how upset he was about the loss to Illinois. He wasn't over it yet. I know he knows in his heart that he's supposed to get his team now ready for the next game, but I don't think he was over it. But I do think he somehow took that emotion and then was able to direct that with his team to go into Columbus and play a really good game. And I'm not one for moral victories typically. You win or you lose. You are what your record says you are. However, with that being said, I was very impressed by how well James Franklin had his team ready and how well they played.
They were sharp. They were hungry. They were focused. They looked like they took that last loss to Illinois personally and came back out there. And yeah, of course, Sean Clifford and his play was a big story and a big factor in this game. But also, you know, that run defense and what Illinois was able to accomplish with them. They came out, they looked like they played up to the competition. They fixed that problem, not by changing personnel, but by putting more pride on the line and filling gaps well and pursuing well and playing hard and getting a better performance from, you know, the guys on the interior there. Ohio State didn't resort to any gimmicks, and they weren't really resigned to try to get 4 yards per play. And that's a difference in strategy and stuff like that. But, you know, for, three quarters plus, they had Trevion Henderson, who was an outstanding running back who's only going to get better. They had him bottled up. I don't think it's very easy to continue doing that for 4 full quarters. He was bound to break one at some point, and you know, Ohio State kind of won the race to break a big run. Looks like Penn State was kind of playing a different race, if we're being honest about that. But yeah, I thought that just the big criticism from Illinois, they came out there and made that a thing of the past. And, you know, the red zone defense was, again, a huge storyline in this one. I saw Ryan Day say after the game, well, you know, it looks and feels a little bit different if we turn those field goals into 6. Well, guess what? Every opponent Penn State has played has struggled to turn those field goals into 6. And it's partly on his team's execution. But Penn State deserves a huge lump of credit here for doing what they did against the best quarterback they've faced all season, against the best offense they've seen all season. The red zone defense came to play, and if there was any doubt that that's something that Penn State controls and something that they drill and that they're genuinely good at, they put that to rest. You know, this team is extremely tough to score on, and that is a fact now against the number one scoring and total offense in the country.
We'll get more to the defense a bit later. Let's get back to the offense. Let's start with Sean Clifford. Again, a very different Sean Clifford. We're going to say it's the difference between being healthy or not. And it does seem like with Clifford, Being healthy, also physically healthy, means also a healthy mind most of the time. However, there were two big plays that he was responsible for. The fumble, the sack, strip, touchdown, and the interception later on when they were on the move. I look at those as the difference in the game.
Well, I think certainly they were. I mean, Ohio State wasn't really making mistakes. So you making mistakes on the road, no matter how inexplicable or how justifiable they might be. So the strip sack, I mean, ball security in the pocket. I mean, I think he's been playing too much football probably to make that mistake in that situation. Took the hit, just bobbled it, and it got away from him just a little loose. Outstanding play there to scoop it up and take it back for six. I did like, by the way, afterthought there, the way that Penn State came back from that score, they're down by double digits. They come back down and they score in a 2-minute situation to get a field goal, to get on the board there. And I thought that was a really good sign of good fight. And then they scored obviously to start the second half. On the interception, I think, he was thrown off his back foot because he wasn't able to step in the pocket. I think sometimes he was a little loose with that. Sometimes did it when he didn't have to do it. He had room to maybe get his mechanics in order. On that throw, the pressure was bearing down on him. I think he saw Jahan Dotson in the process of gaining separation and tried to get as much as he could on that ball, expecting that Dotson was going to run past the cornerback. That is what looked like was going to happen. But obviously, he couldn't step into it, threw off his back foot, didn't have enough on the throw, underthrew it, and you saw what the outcome was there. So a couple turnovers. I didn't have, to take that shot with Dotson, he needed another probably 15 yards on that ball for that to be what he thought it was going to be when he let go of it. But, he took a shot there. He needed to take a shot, and it didn't work out. So a couple turnovers, that's all. A lot of the time, that's going to be the difference. When you're playing a team like Ohio State with so many horses and so much depth and so many five-stars, so much talent on their home field, mistakes are going to absolutely crush you because you don't have the margin for error for that. Penn State's margin for error in this game was essentially zero. They played as close to not a perfect game, but they played about as well as you could possibly ask them, and this was the outcome there. And the mistakes, you just can't have them on the road, no matter what the situation is,
especially when that mistake gets turned into a scoop and score. There's seven very important points while you had the ball and you were driving down the field, so that one really hurt. All right, that's it for quarter number one, Dustin. We're going to pick up the conversation from there in quarter number two. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.